Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win.
Through the city where the legends play, Chi-town vibes on a sunny day. Big red bus with the seats in line, talking Bulls all day, we stay on the grind. Rolling down the lane in the big red bus, see Red, Fred, and Doug bring the Bulls to discuss. From the Jordan days to the present fuss, it's gold in the convo, so ride with us. Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago on a brutally cold day for May 1st. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
I'm living the dream. I mean, the news, I assume, is the draft changes, right?
That's what I want to get.
We're a little late, but that's the big news.
That's what I want to talk to you about. I'm really looking forward to getting your feedback on. I mean, me personally, I think, you know, after all the dust has settled, there needs to be some changes to this plan. And I think the owners vote, I think it's later this month. So it's nothing's official yet.
Yeah,
but overall, sure, you have to prevent what happened this past season and in previous seasons where teams, a large percentage of the league, almost a third of the league, was actively trying to lose. And it just couldn't go on like that. And it was just such a bad reflection on the league. So I think something needed to be done. I think this will fix a lot of the problems. So overall, I'm not as negative as some people seem to be. Love to get your thoughts on it, DT, and then we'll get into a bigger debate on it overall.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things that I think are big concerns with this. So one, I'm going to start off because when I've raised the concerns, and then people have largely decided because I've raised the concerns that I hate the whole thing and that I'm pro-tanking and we shouldn't do anything. And that's not true. Like, I think the gist of what you said is, like, they needed to do something. It had gotten so bad that there were so many unwatchable games that I'm glad they did something. And so now to talk about the really dumb things in this plan, because there's a couple really dumb things. There's no reason to give the bottom three teams less lottery balls than teams 4 through 10.
Agreed, 100%.
You're already the worst in the league. Like what are you thinking there? Like, it's so hard when you're really bad to be not bad. There's already zero incentive because you're drawing every pick. Like, you're drawing now every pick up through 16. So the other thing is, and I'm not sure if it's entirely clear to everyone, like, if you are the 10th place team, you effectively now have the same odds of every pick in the draft. Like you don't, it's not like you're drawing three picks now and then we go in order. Like, you could draw 5, you could draw 6, you could draw 7, you could draw 8. And so the idea that teams 1 through 3, their most likely draft position now is going to be like I think it's like 10th, 11th, and 12th is the most likely place for those teams to pick. That's just terrible. That's just like a really bad idea for mobility of those teams, which are the worst teams in the league. And then it's like, how do you improve when you're that team? Because now you're already the worst team in the league. So you can't sign free agents either, because no one wants to go play for the worst team in the league unless you pay them way more money. And for the best players, you can't do that because they'll get that same offer from other places because they're artificially capped at the max. So you can't even like pay the very best players. They'll never come. So it's just like, it's just a really bad idea. Like, there's no reason to do that. So, like, number one, just get rid of that whole relegation thing.
Let me just jump in on this really quick, because this, I think you would probably concur, I suspect, that the guys who are running the league for whatever reason just want the NBA to become more like soccer with this midseason tournament, and they thought this was really clever. Relegation, it's like, it's just, to me, it's so obvious what they're trying to do, and you're absolutely right, Doug. It's so dumb. It's so stupid. You're punishing fan bases. Do you think the fans have anything to do with this? Do you think the fans in Sacramento are happy that their team sucks for 3 straight years and you're going to punish them? It's so insane, this idea, to me. And it's, I think out of all the things, there's been less pushback on this specific point, this relegation point, than anything else. And it's asinine. It's ridiculous. I agree 100%.
It's overly complicated for no reason. It serves no purpose. And it's going to be a negative for the league. So, like, that is just one thing you could fix immediately. And I think people will come to their senses before they push this through, but we'll see. And then the second thing is the play-in team treatment is just really wonky. So if you are a 9 or 10 seed, you get two lottery balls. So sorry, we didn't talk about it. If you are 1 through 3, you get two lottery balls. If you are 4 through 10, you get 3 lottery balls. And if you are a 9-10 play-in seed, so effectively the 11 through 14 teams, you will get 2 lottery balls. And then if you are the loser of the 7-8 play-in, you get 1 lottery ball. And that's like a really bizarre thing. So now we'll talk about the most bizarre part of it. Is the loser of the 7-8 game gets 1 lottery ball. Like, you might as well just make both teams get 1 lottery ball. Because now it's like, hey, if I'm in the 7-8 game and I feel pretty confident I can beat the 9-10 team at home, like, I'll be like, yeah, I'll lose this game because getting that one ball means I basically have a 3% chance at the number one pick and then a higher percentage, slightly increasing percent chance of every pick after that up until like 15. So if I don't get like number 1 through 4, now I'm going to draft 16. Like, you could draft 9, you could draft 8, you could draft 7, you could draft 6, you could draft 5. Like, you're going to have complete chances. So you're going to have like a 45% chance or something of drafting in the top 10 if you lose that game.
I'll push back on this, though, Doug. That won't happen.
Dallas Mavericks already did it, dude. They already intentionally lost out of the play-in. They got fined $750,000 by the league.
Well, no, but this is different. No. This is different. What you're saying, yeah. You're talking about 8 and 7. Whoever wins that game is guaranteed 4 playoff games and the associated revenue. That's a different situation what Dallas did. They weren't guaranteed anything. If you're playing for 7 and 8, you win that game, you're in the playoffs.
Yeah, and if you win the next game, you're still in the playoffs. Just hear me out.
Okay.
I'm not saying every team is going to make that decision. You're saying there's a 0% chance some team is going to, like, say it's this draft. Oh, mm-hmm. I get a 25% chance at like one of these like top 5 picks, and I just have to win a home game to make it into the playoffs. You don't think a team's going to do that? There's not that much playoff revenue. There's not. You think no team would ever do that? 0% chance. No team would ever do that.
I think that's a ridiculous statement. Hold on a second. The outrage from a fan base for a team that is, if they win, they go to the playoffs, would be so massive and it would be so vicious. I cannot imagine. Let's say Utah's in it next year, Doug. Let's just throw this out. Utah's in. You think they're going to sit Lauri Markkanen and Jaren Jackson Jr. like they were this past year if they're battling for a playoff spot? I don't think Lauri Markkanen would allow it. I don't see any player would say, no, I'm sitting for you guys to get a chance at a top pick.
I don't think they'll be like that. But like, so say you're the Orlando Magic this year. You lost. You won the 8th. Then you won the next game. Now you're playing the Pistons. And then, now you win the lottery and you get to add AJ DeBanza to the team you're on now. Is that team in like way better position than they would be if they won the 7th seed instead? They're still in the playoffs anyway. And they now have a really high chance at a really great pick. I'm not saying a team's going to make that decision every year or even that they would make it like most teams would make it any year. I'm saying absolutely some team would look at that math in some drafts and say, yeah, I'm going to get my ass kicked in the playoffs anyway. There's not that much revenue. I don't need to be the sacrificial lamb. I'd rather have still reasonable draft odds. Mm. And like, again, I'm not saying it's going to happen all the time.
You can admit that's a highly unlikely scenario.
No, I don't. I don't think it's even remotely unlikely. I think it's almost certainly going to happen in the next 5 years, like once. Okay. I'm not saying it's going to happen every year. I'm not saying it's going to happen with every team on both sides of the brackets, but I would be shocked if it didn't happen at least once.
Well, God forbid if it happens to a team that I support, like the beloved Bull, because if they're that close to getting into the playoffs and they got to win one game, I can't imagine the pushback from the players. I wouldn't respect a player that's going to be like, oh, yeah, we'll just
again, the players aren't going to tank. There's just going to be something subtle or whatever. I'm going to tell you, dude, if we were in the 7-8 game and we lost and then we won the 8 game and then we got AJ DeBanza, I'd be like, hell yeah, let's go. Like, now our team is already like a low-rung playoff team, and we just added a superstar to it instead of adding like the 17th pick in the draft. I'd be freaking amped. Yeah. I would not care at all if my team did that. I would be totally fine with it. And so
you
I'm
hope
just saying,
for the result. Yeah, I understand. I mean, like, we're getting caught up on something that I think is very unlikely, but let's move on.
Well, you think it's unlikely. I'm just spelling it out why a team might do that. I just gave you the exact scenario. People can decide for themselves how likely it is. But how about I put it this way? You and I just disagreed on whether we would be happy if our team did this. You're saying no, I'd be saying yes. I'd be happy if my team did that. Now, you don't think if the two of us were GMs that we might think differently about that? I'm a really large, logical, smart person, and I just said I'd be fine with it. So that means some GM is going to take my view. They're not all going to take your view. Anyway.
Well, let me ask you a quick question. Looking at where the Orlando Magic is right now, do you think it would be a good decision for them in that situation to purposely lose the next game?
They don't have to. They already would have done what I said.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But
let's say they would have lost both games, right? Well, even if you lose the second game, you're getting an extra lottery balls.
No, you're only getting one ball. So if you're the 7-8 team and then you lose the next game, the 9-10, you still get one ball. Just by being the 9-10, you get two balls.
Whoever gets in the playoffs shouldn't have any lottery balls.
Yeah, period. The whole thing to me is just dumb in that, like, you should just treat all... Let me reframe it this way. You should treat all play-in teams the same. If you're going to do this, just treat all play-in teams the same.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do this like one ball for, like, the loser of the 7-8. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
both
we fixed
7
it.
And 8, either give both 7 and 8 one ball so that there's never an incentive to, like, lose. Or give both 7 and 8 two balls, just like 9 and 10, so you never have an incentive to be like, you know what, maybe I'd rather have two balls and be the 9-10 team and then, like, just try to win twice.
Or,
like, either way, like, just you created these, like, magic drop-offs, and it's, like, the odd difference is, like, 50%. Like, and to go from, like, no odds of moving up to having, like, reasonable odds of moving up to then if you are the 9-10, you have double those odds, and if you miss the play-in, you have triple those odds. I think it creates, like, all kinds of wonky incentives. So I would just say either just remove the play-in team. I would actually honestly kill the play-in tournament and then just give everyone even odds. And
that
system is dramatically better.
What I would do, play-in teams, I'd still give them a chance to move up. They just can't move up to top four. You're going to have the same odds. The farthest you can move up is to five. I think that fixes it. Any team that's not in the playoffs has almost equal odds to get 1, 2, 3, 4. And you have the odds potentially if you're a play-in team to get up to five, but you can't be a seventh seed play-in team and get the first overall pick. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I just think that's nuts. Denver Nuggets were six, right? I mean, look at what's happening right now. The 76ers are one game away from advancing. Orlando Magic, one game away at eight from advancing. Like, come on, man. None of those teams should be given the same or given almost the same odds as the Sacramento Kings. It's just insanity. So,
well, that's the whole problem with the lottery in general. Like, the problem is you either flatten the odds and now the teams in the middle have, like, really good odds of moving up, or you don't flatten the odds and then you run into the place where teams try to lose to get better odds. Like, that is the crux of this. Like, you can't have it both ways. And so they're just trying to figure out, like, what is the best blend of these things? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, this blend now with the play-in, it just really muddies the water. And this is, like, something we talked about when they had these earlier proposals that were all radically different than this one, by the way, when they had, like, the three different things they might do. You know, we talked about the idea of, like, if you make the wrong change and you push the incentive to tank into the teams competing for the play-in or, like, around that part of the draft, like, I think that's actually a worse position for the NBA to have, like, middle teams trying to jockey to lose position and trying to get out of the playoffs or out of the play-in because it's an elite draft class and the odds are high enough that it warrants, like, potentially being like, whatever, I think I'm a sacrificial lamb. Like, I don't think I have any real chance to compete. Like, you know, say you were the team going up against the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round and you're like, we have no way of beating these guys. You know, you just be like, yeah, I'd rather have the odds at the playoffs. Now, if you're in the East and you're like, yeah, the Pistons don't scare me, like, that might be a little different. You know, like, some teams are going to, like, look at those things differently. If you're the 76ers and you're like, we've had a lot of health problems, but Joel Embiid and Paul George are actually healthy going in the playoffs, we're going to, like, punch way above our weight, which is, you know, kind of like what's happening. Like, you might look at it differently. But if you're a team that's, like, kind of on the fringe, you just be like, yeah, maybe I just would rather get these odds. And so that's the weird debate you have now. When you have the odds being so even and you have these magic drop-offs, like, you have a drop-off somewhere, right? And so when you have these magic drop-offs, like, all around the play-in and you've created multiple layers of them, you actually create, like, more opportunities for teams to think, like, yeah, maybe I just would rather be in this mix than this mix. And now your middle teams are tanking. And I think that is, I agree with you. Like, I don't think it's going to be nearly as bad or as obvious as it is now, because now you have, like, 10 teams trying to lose as many games as possible. And what you're going to do is you're going to have maybe like two or three teams like subtly trying to lose one or two games at the end of the year. And so like it's going to be, you know, nowhere near as visible as it is today. But it's just like it's a weird situation. And I think they could have just done a little bit better, like not creating all these different weird
layers. Yeah, variables. The variables. Yeah. Like the relegation. I couldn't just believe dumb. It when I heard it. It was just insanely dumb. And yeah, and I will also say too, like I saw a couple of reactions like, you know, there are some people online who are just basically like, good, you know, like do something now, do something, figure it out. You shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't be this bad. And I'm like, dude, the Los Angeles Lakers signed LeBron James. They didn't deserve to sign LeBron James. They were one of the worst organizations in the NBA for 4 years before he chose to go there. They happened to be in LA. They happened to have a brand and they got him. They didn't do anything to earn that. Do you think the Kings were really that much worse of an organization in the past 5 years than the Lakers were in the 5 years previous to them signing LeBron James? I would concur that the Lakers were worse with some of the awful contracts they handed out in 2016 to Lou Alding and others. So don't give me this nonsense, like figure it out. Like there are some teams in this league that aren't going to sign great free agents. So what do you have other than the draft? You have the draft. You sign restricted free agents. There's a lot of problems with that because you're going to, just the nature of it, you're going to overpay if you're a small market team, or free agents. And free agents, the great players, aren't going to sign in Sacramento or necessarily Oklahoma City. You know, you got to build it through the draft and then use your assets to make trades that yield greatness. I mean, what Presti did is just amazing to me. I mean, he didn't, who's a free agent, great free agent signing there? They left there. Durant left there, you know, Harden. Well, they traded Harden. Obviously, look at Westbrook. So, I mean, like, it's not as easy as just acting like this is a, you know, figure it out. And, you know, I do feel, though, I keep on going back to the game that Utah played at Orlando. That I think they were up by 17 points with Lauri Markkanen and Jaren Jackson Jr. dominating that game. And they just sat him for the fourth quarter and they ended up losing the game by a few points. You can't have that happen again. And I don't know about you, if you feel this way, Doug. I heard Goat talking about this on his CHGO show, and I agree with him totally. I don't think this is good for the Bulls. Like, I think it's good for the league. It's not good for the Bulls because the Bulls, I think, are in a far worse situation right now in terms of, like, talent on the team. There's just this general, I think, idea across the fan base that, hey, we got Giddy, we got Modest, we got cap space in a free agent market. Yeah, what free agent market? Like, who are the great free agents out there? The guys that we sent away, Kobe White and Io. I mean, like, really? We're in a great position here? Because I just watched Modest and Giddy go together. I think they went 4-24 down the stretch. So I don't know if you feel the same way. Do you think this is good or bad for the Bulls?
I don't think the Bulls will be bottom three next year. So, you know, like, I think it's probably better than...
Who do you think's worse?
What's that?
Who do you think's worse? Go run through the list. Think the Wizards are going to be worse than the Bulls next year or better? I think the Wizards probably are going to be worse. Better.
I think it'll be worse.
All right, maybe. I mean, it depends. More talent, you know, than the Bulls.
Do you count on Anthony Davis like doing anything for the Wizards or Trae Young? Like, it's hard to guess what will happen with the Bulls because they have so much money and there's like so much optionality. But they're going to bring in two young, you know, draft picks in a really strong draft. You know, they should add some real talent in the draft this year. You still got Noah Senge, who I'm not real high on right now, but like was viewed as very talented and, you know, basically came in like younger than some high school players in the high school era in the past. So,
and it'll be, you know, 20 in December. So, yeah, I understand that was an excuse then, but come on. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get anything on Noah Senge. I hope so. I
mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I'm just saying he was 18 for most of last season. Like, it's, we'll see what happens. I'm not saying I'm like, oh, he's going to be so great, but I think like there's reason for more optimism than you think maybe there, I guess. Certainly a big question mark, but like you have a chance that something can develop there. You know, Modest had a really good year this year relative to his first year, like 16-6, and, you know, shows potential on both ends. Definitely needs to get stronger. He talked about that himself, but like he has the ability, if he makes this third year leap, like a lot of guys make, you know, he already had a pretty good second year leap. If he works really hard this offseason, you know, adds some strength and makes a third year leap, you know, he could still get better. You've got a lot of money to add people. Like, who knows what'll happen with the Bulls, but I don't think they're gonna, I don't think they're set up to be bottom three. Let me just put it that way. I mean, we'll see what happens, but I would be a little surprised if that happened. I can say if this system was in place the last 4 years, we would be super psyched. But it wasn't. So we'll see what happens.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Acme could never have predicted this, but I did. You know, I said he's going to get fired and whoever takes over is going to have a more difficult, you know, work ahead of them. Doug, there were only three teams in the East that finished worse than the Bulls: the Nets, the Pacers, and the Wizards. I would argue the Pacers and Wizards are going to be better than the Bulls next year.
Well, so there were eight teams that finished worse than the Bulls, and it's not about eight East and West.
Are you talking about in the league? Yeah, but Utah Jazz is one of them. They're going to be way better. Utah Jazz.
The odds are based on the league.
Go through those teams. Who was worse than the Bulls? Do you think the Mavericks are going to be worse next year? Or the
Utah Jazz? Do you want to bet that the Bulls won't be in the bottom three? I bet you they won't be in the bottom three. Well, like, that's all we're talking about. We're only talking about, are they in the bottom three, yes or no?
It's hard to say. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs next year. That's all I'll bet.
That's fine. I didn't think that either, but that's actually the best spot. The best spot now is to be 4-10. I mean, the draft next year, I don't think it's supposed to be real strong, so I don't know that we'll care that much. Anyway,
exactly.
So that's different. But, like, I don't think this system, to hurt the Bulls in this system, they would need to be in the bottom three. Those are the teams that are really going to get hurt. And I don't think the Bulls will be in that boat. That's all.
I think Goat's point, I think also Peck made it, and I agree 100%, is, and you were on top of this too. You know, the Bulls the last 3 years have had these runs after the All-Star break when large percentage of the league was purposely trying to lose. No more so than this past year. Like, this year was the worst, and they were one of those teams. But even the previous year, when we ran through the schedule, Doug, you know, they had two really good wins against the Lakers twice in that run where, you know, things went so well after the All-Star break. And that gave us false hope when there were so many teams that were actively trying to lose to get.
Well, it didn't give us false hope. I mean, I thought they sucked.
Gave me false hope.
Yeah, I agree with that. It gave you false hope. Look, all I'm gonna say is I don't think this system will hurt the Bulls in particular. I don't think they'll be bottom three. I don't think it'll be like meaningfully great for them. It's just going to be lucky. The one thing I'll say is, if you were to base how the Bulls want to behave, like, the Bulls don't want to tank. They are organizationally diametrically opposed to it. They don't want to tank. So this system encourages teams to behave how the Bulls naturally want to behave. Like, if the Bulls could make the play-in, they would always make the play-in. They would never choose to be bad and try and collect assets instead. So the one thing you can say is the way the Bulls will want to behave now aligns with the way the league wants teams to behave. Now, will we be good enough and will we make good decisions and will we add the right pieces? That's all a little different. We aren't in a good spot right now, as you mentioned. But if we nail these draft picks and you get two talented players in this draft, then we might be just fine.
The problem is, Doug, is the Wizards have a better draft pick than us.
We'll see where the lottery goes.
Well, you're right. That's true. We could lose that. Yeah. But if you just look at the East, I only identified, I'd say, one team, and that's the Nets. Now, a lot depends on what the Bucks end up doing, but whatever they do, they're going to get
Pacers
something.
The Pacers are going to suck next year.
No, they're not.
I don't know why you think they are.
Dude, are you kidding me? They're not going to blow. But, dude, they beat us three times this year with half their team. Are you kidding me? They actually got a center now. Zubac is a fantastic rim defender. Like, they're going to be way better. And obviously, we'll they're getting – okay. That's a bet I'll take you on. How much you want to bet that? They'll be top seven in Eastern Conference.
I already offered you this. The only thing that matters is whether you're bottom three. You want to take the bottom three bet? Go ahead. Otherwise,
there's no team that had more serious injuries.
Fine. Do you want to take the bottom three bet? Yes or no?
I don't want to take the bottom three. I want to do the Pacers
bet. Okay, well,
stop
talking about it. You agree with me. You're arguing, but you agree with me. Nice. You won't put any money on it. You don't want to bet about it. Like, you're just like, you're arguing.
Where are we
like,
at?
But I don't really believe what I'm saying. That's what you're doing right now. So
where are we at
I don't hear it. So anyway, regardless, like, teams will fall off that you don't expect. Let me put it that way. Some teams will have injuries that you don't expect. And maybe the Bulls will be one of them. Like, you know, we will also have like key injury risk and whatever. You know, it's hard to say. But I will just say, like, if the Bulls do well with their two draft picks, And they get good players, if Noah turns into anything, then they could have like four really good, young, talented players between Modest, Noah, and these two draft picks. And still have Giddey as like a young veteran quality player, and then still add, say, two very good players, not great players, with all of their free agency money.
Okay.
Like it's not crazy that they. I mean, I agree. It's not easy.
It's crazy.
There's not obvious paths for them, but it's not crazy that they could add two good players in this draft.
Yeah, I think it's unlikely that you get, unless you're getting Yaxel or somebody that's an older player who's already proven to be very good.
Well, but I mean, like you don't have to do it this year, right? Like, so say you add two guys who develop into really good players 2 years from now.
Yeah,
and then Modest keeps stepping up. Like, you still have a very good path forward.
I'm arguing how good are they going to be next year? I think they're going to be.
And you don't think they're going to be bottom three? So it's fine. This new system won't hurt them if they're not bottom three.
Whoever comes in, you know, I guess it depends on who they hire. I would bet if Acme was still here, they'd be bottom three, likely bottom two.
Well, they're not here. So we don't have to worry about that.
Thank God. So let's celebrate. That's right. Good things ahead. Yeah. Matt, why don't they hire Matt Mori already?
Am I the positive one in this show? How did it happen?
I don't think you think
the beloved Bulls. I just want to quote, like, what day is it? May 1st, Fred Pfeiffer thinks the Bulls will be bottom three. When we get to, like, October 1st next year, I want to bring up the fact that you thought they would be bottom three, because I guarantee by October 1st, you're going to be like, we're a playoff team for sure. We're going to be awesome. The Bulls are back. You're going to have Moses parting the sea. You're going to be in like full Sea Rad mania by the time that rolls around. Whether it's Peyton Watson or Walker Kessler or Kobe White's back, whatever it is, you're going to be like super amped about it. And you're going to be
If they get both those guys, hell yeah. Or all three, I'll be more amped, because all those guys address major flaws with the team. But I just love how people throw this out there. Like, we're going to get these guys. Like, you think we're the only team in the league who wants those guys? You know what? They're also restricted free agents in not many cases. So the team, whoever, you know, owns their rights gets to match. I hate to tell you this.
It's going to be a wonky.
They're not unrestricted.
A lot of people think the Jazz will like match him, Walker Kessler, and maybe they will. Like, I have no idea.
That'd be nuts.
But like that's crazy to me. Like, you've already got like max contracts on Lowry and Jaren Jackson.
Yeah.
And you're gonna then put like another like $25 million, $30 million on Walker Kessler. Like, that's you know. I don't believe it either.
It's the same thing Omer Asić. You remember what the Bulls saying?
We're never going to give Asić.
Yeah, I always forget how to pronounce it. But you remember how the Bulls were like, we're never going to let him go, and then you give him the poison pill, and of course Jerry says no.
Like, I'm like you're really going to put like 70% of your money into just the front court? Like, that's wild.
You had the worst record in the Western Conference. You telling me you're going to go into the second apron for Walker Kessler?
Yeah,
not going to happen.
I don't know. It's weird. And so, and the Nuggets are in a weird spot too, because they've got, you know, they maybe want to keep Peyton Watson, but then, you know, they just got bounced in the first round, and you know, they got to look at themselves in the mirror. Like, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. And they've got tax problems, so that's also like just a wonky spot. So it's just going to be it'll be a strange thing for those two guys. You know, I feel like maybe if the Nuggets really want to keep Peyton Watson, that you can probably absorb Cam Johnson into cap room. And I think he's like a very good player. And I think you might be able to get like an asset or something with him. And that might be
Cam Johnson,
the way to go. Yeah.
Yeah. How old is Cam Johnson? I mean, like, I think he didn't have a great rookie year.
He was an older rookie, but he's not been in the league all that long. So I don't know. I don't think he's that old. I mean, I think he's still very much in his prime.
I did want to get your thoughts on the playoffs. Like, obviously, this is crazy, crazy stuff going on here.
We got to wrap it up, the playoffs, in 3 minutes?
Five minutes. Give me 5 minutes. So I want your thoughts. First of all, Timberwolves. A lot of ex-Bulls doing great things. Io's out, and then we have Terrence Shannon Jr. Remember how I
Terrence Shannon Jr. is an ex-Bull now? Just because you wanted him in the draft? He's like an honorary Bull. You wanted him.
You remember that? How we were? I still remember we were driving there. Who you want to walk away with today? And I wanted them to get a later first-round pick, move up. Anyhow.
You did. You wanted Terrence Shannon Jr., and he had a nice game with Io out.
He's good. I just wish we could have got him in the trade. Like, I don't know. I'm arguing with people online about the Bulls not getting him. Why would you want him? Well, he's 25 years old. That's why I want him.
He fits perfectly. 25 is not all that young. And he scored 5 points a game this year. Like, let's not.
He was out. He was hurt. That's the problem. He was out. for most of the year he was hurt.
I mean, he played 43 games.
Well, there's 82 in a season, so he was hurt.
Sure. Okay, so he's also injury prone and scored 5 points a game in the 43. Okay, I mean, like, I don't know that that makes it better. Like, I don't know that you've sold that on me. Like, look, I'm not saying Terrence Shannon Jr. is like I'd like avoid him like the plague or anything. I'm just saying, like, it's his second year.
It was better than Leonard Miller. Everybody's acting like he's the second coming. He's a better player than Leonard Miller. He is. Period. End of story. He's better.
I don't know. I mean, I think Leonard Miller probably had more good games for the Bulls than Terrence Shannon.
Leonard Miller didn't put up 24 points in a regular season game, let alone a playoff game. So let's get off the Leonard Miller boat for a second. Yes. He had chances to play in regular season games. How many times did he put up 24 like that against a good team? Zero. So, like, come on. This is ridiculous. Like, I hope Leonard Miller is going to be good someday. He's not as good as Terrence Shannon Jr. Now, in Leonard Miller's defense, he's younger. He could be better. He's a second round pick. So hopefully he'll evolve. But I mean, between him and Noah and Essanay, man, the stuff I read online from some Bulls fans, these guys are going to be all stars next year. So I can't wait. So maybe I was wrong. They won't be bottom three. Sorry to interrupt you. Give me your thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, it was awesome. It's awesome to see. I mean, I was rooting for the Timberwolves. I was rooting for Io. You know, that was amazing that he had the giant game. I can't believe the Nuggets lost to the Timberwolves after Io was also out. I mean, like, you're now missing Io DiVincenzo and Anthony Edwards. Like, it's like three guys also playing like in the same position, and like you still lost. That was crazy to me. I can't believe they lost. So the Nuggets got some. I don't know what they're gonna do, but They're in like real trouble now. So they have to make, I think, wide sweeping changes and don't have a lot of room to do it. So that's going to be an interesting scenario for them.
Well, are they in a ton of trouble? I mean, they were missing some key players too. It's not like they weren't without injuries.
Who are they
injuries.
Missing? They were just missing Aaron Gordon, right?
Just missing Aaron Gordon. He's like their best interior defender by a mile.
Okay,
like,
but I mean,
it's
like,
kind of important. If you're missing Gobert,
It's like missing Lonzo Ball. He's not theoretically like he maybe fills a critical need, but he's like not theoretically like your first or second best guy. Like,
yeah, I felt like, man, they missed a lot of open shots. Murray was terrible.
Maybe Aaron Gordon is their second best guy in reality. Because
I would say, yes.
I mean, Murray just sucks. Anyway,
well, he just had a terrible game.
He sucks, dude. He blows. All right, getting past Denver. We want to go.
You want to go Knicks?
New York? You want to brag?
Knicks are
about
coming
how,
out of East. Knicks are coming out of East. I'll tell you right now, they're coming out of the East.
Did you see my tweet this morning about the Knicks?
No, I didn't see it. What did it
they,
say?
They might actually come out of the East and only have to beat the 6, 7, and 8 seeds. That's crazy. Like, I mean, like, I'm not saying that's going to happen, you know, but it's wild that is a chance that could happen. That they might come out of the East as the 3 seed, and the best team they might play is the 6 seed. Like, mm-hmm. that's just wild. Now, granted, the 76ers, if they do win Game 7, I don't think they will. I think Boston will win Game 7. But if the 76ers did win Game 7, like, the 76ers aren't, like, a real 7 seed. Like, they're seeded 7th. But they're, you know, like, they've got Embiid back and now Paul George is playing. Like they've had a lot of weird issues that if they resolve themselves in the playoffs, they could punch way above their weight class, right? So it wouldn't be, like, a normal 7 seed situation. The Pistons losing to the Magic, which, again, hasn't happened yet. They could still win the next 2 games and they could beat the Magic. But it's just crazy. I just thought that would be like the wildest thing ever, if the Knicks came out of the East and beat the 6, 7, and 8. No time ever have the 7 and 8 both won in the same conference before. If that happened this year, it would be the first time ever.
I think you can make the same argument about the number one seed and the 2 seed, DT. Like, I don't think Boston's that good. They're not better than they were last
year. Yeah, the East is a weird conference. No one in the East is that good. Whoever comes out of the East is going to get just annihilated by whoever comes out of the West.
I don't agree with that. I think the Knicks are a good team. I think the Knicks are a really good team.
The Knicks and the Celtics are similar caliber teams. I think they're like what I would call them, like, the very good teams, like the teams that are like low to mid 50 win teams, like, they're really good teams. I'd be ecstatic if the Bulls were as good as either team, but mm-hmm. I don't think either of those are like championship caliber teams. Like, when you come out of the East, and you're playing the Thunder, I think those teams are going to get their asses handed to them against the Thunder.
I was thinking
or the Spurs. Or the Spurs, yeah. Either way.
I think that West is so far superior to the East. Like, just look at the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets, to me, are a very similar team to the Detroit Pistons. And they're about ready to, but look at them. They're very similar teams. I think the Rockets are better. They're not even in the top five. Maybe they are. Where are the Rockets at?
They're in the fourth.
Yeah. And if the Detroit was playing the Rockets in a 7-game series, I'd probably bet on the Rockets. You know, so especially if they were quasi healthy. I just think the West is so far superior, which makes this all the more disappointing. It's been that way for 5 years.
It's been that way since the Jordan era. Well, I mean, it's effectively been the East is usually, while LeBron James was in the East, it was like the LeBron James team was like really good and everyone else was bad.
Yeah.
You know, like the East has always been, from a holistic standpoint, the East has been so much worse than the West for like 25 years now, over 25 years.
Yeah.
And while LeBron, you know, is with the Cavs and the Heat, the second Cavs run, not the first Cavs run. Well, he was with the Heat and then the second Cavs run, you know, like just his one team was good enough to make it competitive. But like outside of that, it's been like, and the East has won some like fluky ones against
Celtics,
I guess I shouldn't say it. The Celtics year they won with
Tatum.
The Tatum Celtics were good. And also the Big Three Celtics, Kevin Garnett, KG.
They beat the Lakers. They were
good. So the East has had some like good runs. I forgot about that team. That was good in the early or late 2000s.
And the Pistons. Forgot the Pistons.
I don't think the Pistons were really that good. I think they were like a team. Mm-hmm. That just kind of got there and they got lucky to beat a Lakers team that was kind of like flailing and falling apart and had weird stuff going on. But like the East has just historically just been so much worse than the West for so long and it just keeps happening. You know, and you even look like the Spurs and the Thunder, who are like two really teeny market teams, and they're at the top of the West now, which is crazy. Like, you know, like how good those teams' front offices must be to. I mean, the Spurs a little bit lucky to get Wemby, but like, you know, you look at all their other talent. If you've watched their games, you know, like, you know, Stephen Castle's doing great. You know, they got like other young talent that is like contributing at a high level in the playoffs, like right away. You know, the Thunder obviously have a ton of depth. You know, outside of SGA, Holmgren and J-Dub, you know, so they have a lot of talent as well. So, you know, it's just been, I don't know, it's like, the East is just super, super weak. And then, you know, with Tatum having the Achilles last year and that really hurting them and them having to kind of like unload a ton of salary and like quality players just to avoid the second apron, you know, like they're nowhere near as good as they used to be. The Knicks are like very solid. But they're not like at the level of these top West teams.
Yeah, anybody who wants to argue that this was the case in Jordan's era is wrong, no, because I thought the East in Jordan's era was excellent. Especially
yeah,
in the 90s.
I mean, the Knicks were good. The Pacers were good.
The Pacers were good, exactly. Even like there was Charlotte had a couple of good teams. The Heat were good. They just were running into teams in the East. You couldn't beat those teams.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's for what it's worth, but on that note, DT, so what do you think is going to happen? Just prediction.
I think the Magic will knock off the Pistons. I think the Celtics will win game seven against the 76ers. The Knicks are obviously in. I mean, I assume the Cavs will win just because they're up 3-2 and I've never had any faith in the Raptors. So I kind of think the Magic will have a real chance against the Cavs if they win. And if the Pistons win, I think the Cavs will lose in the second round either way. Knicks Celtics is going to be a really good one. I'm excited for that. Knicks 76ers will also be really good. Either way, that's going to be a good series. Good to watch. I've watched more playoff basketball this year than I have in a long time.
Agreed.
And it's all been really, really entertaining series out East. The West, really only the Lakers, Rockets, and Nuggets, Timberwolves, you know, the Thunder and Spurs.
Well, the Knicks Atlanta was interesting for 5 minutes. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty early on.
Even though I was making fun of you for it, it was like the Hawks, like, I mean, they suck. They barely scraped together two wins. It was sort of embarrassing that the Knicks lost those two games. It was like they just
killed
both those games. Like, and whatever, they came back and they're like, holy crap, we're so much better than these guys, and they stomped the crap out of them in game six. And you know, like whatever, like the Knicks are a way, way better team than the Hawks. As much grief as I was giving you. So
despite the loss of Tom Thibodeau, the Knicks have found a way to go.
The Knicks are like the same as they were last year. I don't think they're any better. I don't think Mike Brown is helping them any compared to Tom Thibodeau in these playoffs. But yeah, they're not in any worse spot either. Like, you know, they're fine. So.
All right, DT, I got to hit the road, but on that note, right, man, it's always good talking to you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. Please follow us. If you want to find our songs for the few people that do have an interest, you can find C Red Fred on Spotify.
I got a playlist. I will publish a playlist of all your songs. Perfect. And all my songs on Twitter.
Sounds good, man.
On Spotify.
Yeah, Dribble Pass is that's a banger. It's a banger, man. People like it. All right. On that note, until next time, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.